Fall is a time for excitement, so go ahead and switch things up with a new recipe from Hello Fresh. With pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions, it's never been easier to try something new. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, with code FOOTBALLERS14 at HelloFresh.com/FOOTBALLERS14.
And we want to thank Ritual. We all deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. And Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use. You know what you won't find? Sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, all that nonsense. And my favorite part personally, you're not going to get the egg burps, the
fish
burps.
No, you do not. They are minty. They are refreshing. They go down easy. And it's a delightful experience.
Nice. It's the multivitamin reimagined. They make sure everything is traceable. You can see the supply chain, and they make it for whatever stage of life you are in. Men, women, teens, wherever you are, they have it for you. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/footballers to start your ritual today.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. That's the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, if you're nasty. I'm your host for today, Mike, the Fantasy Hitman Wright, joined by Jason, the Nasty Man Moore.
Oh, McNasty is here, and we're 12 days away from National Best Friends Day.
Oh, I cannot wait. Jason, did you see there was a parody account of you that was created of Jason the McNasty Man?
I did not. Mm. There's so many parody accounts of me.
You're so important.
Right, exactly. That's when you know you're a super celebrity is when you need that check mark so you know it's me.
It is Monday. Yesterday was an incredible, incredible football Sunday.
It was wild. The morning games, as us best coasters refer to them.
Yeah.
The early.
Wait, there's another way?
Yeah. The early games. I mean, there was so much drama in those games. It was outstanding football. And then in the afternoon games or the later games for, you know, the least coasters.
The midnight games.
Oh, my goodness. Were they brutal?
Yes.
Just injuries everywhere. That was not not quite as fun, but it was a great weekend of football.
On today's show, we're gonna look back at what happened, get through the stud muffins, the duds, you know, just some reflection, some advice moving forward. If you want to watch the show, we are on YouTube. That is youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers. Make sure you subscribe and you click the bell. The socials on Twitter at the FF Ballers. I am at FF Hitman. Jason the Nasty Man at Jason FFL, and Andy is at Andy Holloway. We are joined today by the cardboard bear extraordinaire, who is, look at that smug face, that smug stupid face. Mm-hmm. He's very excited about the victory yesterday.
Yeah,
taking down the Raiders.
Bears win, and he sits there all high and mighty.
Goodness gracious,
get over yourself, Jay.
Jay Grizz. Over there holding it down as the third seed. Jason, it is Monday. You just get sophisticated.
Yes. How about a nice Chase Slaypool?
And a Mantonio Brown.
Mantonio Gibson.
Oh, sad one for us. Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm. Or Starvin Jones Jr.
Hasta la vista, Chenault.
So bad. So bad. Smile Pitts.
Oh, not to be outdone by Smiles Gaskin.
How about Mild Sanders?
Yes, yes. I prefer the hot version. Jamarvelous Chase.
Oh, Jamarvelous Chase indeed. Set it and fornet it.
How about Alan Sobinson?
Oh, Sam darn it all.
Oh, very topical. Kadarius Kaoni.
Pow, 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 pow.
Why do we punch people in helmets? I do not know.
Because we're stupid. My personal favorite and the saddest, Missing Crosby.
And Dawson Fort Knox. We really do need to figure this Dawson Knox thing out.
I think it's figured out.
You go Fort Knox?
Oh, you're saying nickname. I was like, he's good.
Oh, no. That's,
just play him.
That's done. Lock him into the lineups. There's just the opportunities here for someone with the last name Knox. It's endless.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of Knox Knox jokes you could make.
Ooh. Who's so, there?
Oh, that's a good one. Every time he catches the ball, who's there? Knox Knox.
Oh, we are stupid.
Oh, yes, we are.
Let's get into the news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Some cleanup from last week, if you did not catch it. George Kittle of the 49ers, he is on the injured reserve. He will miss at least two more weeks with that calf injury, and Calvin Ridley was not there for the London game for personal issues. We don't know the details. Wish him the best, and hopefully he'll be back on the field. For this week, we got the update on Russell Wilson, quarterback from the Seattle Seahawks. He says he's targeting a Week 10 return. Not a doctor, but I think that is optimistic. What I have heard about the injury, because it was a tendon tear in the middle finger, the tendon that lets you open the finger, that is essentially a 3 to 4 week recovery just for the finger where they had to stitch the tendon back onto the muscle, which is all that. I don't know what kind of seamstress is making that happen.
Is super glue or what? what are we doing in there?
But then on top of the healing, a lot of other things have to go right. I mean, you need some recovery time. So he says week 10. We will see.
I think the main thing is he's out for a while.
Yes. Yeah. So that will be an adjustment for the entire Seahawks team. Geno looked okay when he came in, but let's see how Geno looked through four quarters.
If you don't have an IR and you're in a single quarterback league, I know he's Russell Wilson, but
I would drop him.
I would drop him as well.
From the Giants, holy crap, this was a bloodbath, unfortunately, for the New York team. Saquon Barkley on a freak roll of his ankle, suffered a low ankle sprain. Ian Rappaport is saying he could miss 2 to 4 weeks. This thing swolled up like a balloon immediately. It looked bad.
He's like a Final Destination type of...
Yeah.
Like, it always finds him. He did not... It wasn't his fault. It wasn't a quote-unquote injury-prone. He's just running,
yeah,
and some other guy runs and steps under him, and he rolls it up. It was not good, so he will... He'll be gone for a couple of
weeks.
He's
going to be out a while. Daniel Jones on a keeper trying to score a touchdown suffered a concussion. It was one of those like real scary ones, mm-hmm, where he gets up and he's wobbly.
You got the newborn baby deer legs.
Yes. So we wish him a speedy recovery, but that was a big concussion. Now concussions are all over the place where sometimes, sometimes guys are back. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, the medical analysts always tell people, don't concern yourself with what it looks like. I've seen really bad hits that just seem like, oh my gosh, that's going to be... And then they clear the concussion protocol right away. And the reverse as well. Someone just...
Yeah, it feels like they just tapped their head on the ground. It didn't look like a big hit. Yeah,
and brain injuries out half the season. Yeah, you
are crazy.
Can't predict them.
And Kenny Golladay, Kenny Goosaday... He was doing nothing, and then he exited with a knee injury. It was a hyperextended knee, so we will see what happens. He is not a lock to play.
Couple of hyperextended knees. You had Kenny Golladay. You had Justin Fields with the same type of thing.
Fields was able to get back on the field, though.
Yes. If you remember last year, that was what kept George Kittle out for a couple of games. It's just a matter of whether or not there's a bone bruise in the hyperextension, then the pain will make them miss some time.
Kadarius Toney from the Giants, who was having this was a true breakout game. He was on his way to a 200-yard day. He ended up getting a precautionary x-ray on his leg where he got kind of shaken up. He also got ejected for throwing a punch at some guy wearing a piece of equipment that I would put on if someone was going to punch me in the head.
Did he knock him out?
No.
Oh, really?
It didn't work.
He didn't get through.
Has it ever worked?
No, of course not. I think it's broken hands before.
Like, I totally understand. You're playing a game of football where you're on top of each other in the entire game, getting frustrated, and then things boil over. I understand that. But how do you not go with like a slap to the ear hole or something?
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if you got both of the ear holes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that would be effective. But punching someone's not going to work.
There are definitely more effective. I mean, I don't want to teach players violence, but a throat chop under the helmet is really the way to go.
Speaking of that, Jason, Joe Burrow was taken to the hospital, quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, after he had already left the field on he scrambled, took a devastating hit where everyone was holding their breath going, oh, please not again.
Including him.
He got back in, but now he's being evaluated for a possible throat contusion. We need more injury updates on that. Najee Harris was having a monster game, and then he left with cramps. I believe it was in his calf. Let's see. We got Tyreek Hill suffered an unspecified knee injury in Sunday night's game. We'll see. Travis Kelce had a stinger at the end, which that sucked, where it was like, this game is out of hand, and then Travis Kelce takes a big shot to the head. The huge news from that Chiefs game, though, Clyde Edwards-Helaire bent over backwards, leg trapped underneath him. It's a knee injury officially. We don't know the extent of it. We know he was down.
The hope.
Doing the bang on the ground where it feels like a player knows what happened.
If how you exit the field is indicative of the injury, then it's really, really bad, because I've never seen someone carried off quite like how he was carried off, just hoisted up and someone holding him under his leg. But I do think that the hope here is an MCL injury. The way it twisted, it wasn't direct contact or one of those non-contact. It was a twist, so you're hoping he's going to be out for a couple of weeks with an MCL. Prior to going out, it's worth noting, because obviously,
sure,
you know, he was in the second half, as soon as the game, the second half started, which was after a 10-year break in action, he was on the drive, and he wasn't rotating every single play the way that he was the first half, but he is, you know, week one, he was like a 90%+ snap guy, and every week it's gone down, and then Jerick McKinnon, Darrell Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire were in a three-man rotation before the injury. So when he comes back, he's not coming back to immediate bell cow gameplay at all.
Tom Brady dealing with a thumb injury. He should be good to go. Just shove that thing in some soil, and I'm sure he'll heal up right away. Damian Harris, running back for the New England Patriots. He was having himself a game. He had a rib injury. He tried to fight his way through it, but he ended up getting knocked out. Juju Smith-Schuster of the Steelers, he exited with a shoulder injury, and this one, we're told, is worrisome, where he's expected to go on the IR, and they are concerned that this will be a rest-of-season injury. That sucks a lot for Juju on the contract. He was on a one-year deal, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to earn his big payday, where the
betting on himself, as they say.
Where the salary cap goes up. So hopefully he's okay, and that changes the entire dynamic of the Steelers. Maybe like where Juju wasn't prolific this year, but he is still important to the way that Big Ben plays football these days. So we will see how that changes. Curtis Samuel, he tried again, and this groin injury.
If you have not.
It will not go away.
Yeah, if you've not cut Curtis Samuel yet, join me and say goodbye. This has been half a year groin issue. I would expect that he's going to need some kind of core muscle surgery soon, because this won't heal. He didn't practice Wednesday and Thursday. I was worried. I cut him before the week. Then he goes out there and disappears.
In a maneuver I don't know that I've seen in all of my years watching football, Jacoby Brissett, the Miami Dolphins quarterback, which, look, I mean, I know that the score of the Dolphins, Tampa Bay, it ended in a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
This game was close for quite a while. But anyways, Brissett is carted away with a hamstring injury.
Not good.
But then he was carted back.
But he didn't come back.
No, he rode the car to get back onto the field like not Ricky Bobby, Waterboy.
Oh, yeah.
A situation where they got to drive him up, I don't know. We'll see what's going on there with Jacoby Beef Brisket.
What it said to me is that him on one leg was better than whatever option was behind him.
Do we have that drop anywhere?
Oh,
here we go.
You've got
hey, where's the beef?
He's coming back. He's on the cart. The Cardinals tight end Max Williams, who was having what looked like a breakout season. He exited with a knee injury. From the look of it, it was a strong shot to a planted knee, and the knee did the sideways movement.
Cardinals.
Again, not a doctor, but that looks like a season-ending knee
injury. Yeah, they fear it's season-ending, and I think that's the expectation. So rumors that they might be looking to trade for a tight end, we will see. If they trade for a tight end, I think it's someone...
Could be interesting.
Yeah, you've got to pay attention.
Could be interesting. And the Lions wide receiver, Quintus Cephas, he exited after suffering a shoulder or a clavicle injury. Like I said, there was a lot of injury situations that... they didn't overshadow, but I know we're a fantasy football show, but those games, you know, like the Green Bay Cincinnati game, if you did not get to enjoy the end of that game, of just how many missed kicks were there? I think it was four or five,
I thought.
And kicks that were game winning kicks, and no one wanted to win this game. Fortunately for Mason Crosby, he made the last one.
Yeah,
otherwise,
he goes home a winner.
He was a new resident of Cincinnati, because I can't imagine.
You can't get back on the team plane.
You can't travel with the plane.
After that many misses. That's not welcome.
So that was today's news and notes presented by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. Download the Sleeper app right now. Join the Breaking Alerts channel. It's faster than every other source. Let's get into some actual good stuff.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Big Herb!
Big Herbs. Holy crap. Justin Herbert, 26 of 43 for almost 400 yards and four through the air.
First ballot?
He added first ballot Hall of Fame?
We're already doing this. First ballot yet?
He added a rushing touchdown. He has 10 games of 300-plus passing yards. That's already a record for the first two years in the NFL. Herbert, unbelievable. The player from Oregon and him transforming into this Justin Herbert, I don't think even the Chargers believed that was going to happen, where he was in this dink-dunk offense. You know, he had the physical tools, but Justin Herbert is emerging into an elite player. And the play calling of Chargers.
Yes. Yes. We have our champion.
We do.
We have our analytics champion. They're going through for it on fourth down all the time. Oh, it's fourth and seven. So what? If you get four plays to get a first down, you have a better chance of getting it than if you only have three plays. And apparently, one of the head coaches in the NFL has finally figured that out.
Yeah, so a massive hat tip to Brandon Staley. And, like, some of these fourth down calls, even I was blushing, going, Mr. Staley, are you sure you want to be doing this? But if you looked at how the game was going, short, let's say he fails to convert on one of these fourth downs, and then the Browns is in a very positive situation, and then the Browns win. If he didn't keep going for it on fourth down, the Chargers were not going to win the game regardless of the outcome of the call on fourth down. And yet the intestinal fortitude here, the analytic calls of Staley, turned into a big comeback win for the Chargers.
The Chargers came back from behind to win the game. And against all odds, they did it. And then they missed the extra point.
Yes.
To no longer tie the game. And then still, we're like, well, got to have more Justin. Got the ball back, and he did it again. Can you imagine how good the Dolphins would have been if they drafted Justin Herbert instead of Tua?
Oh, don't say those things.
Sorry.
City cannot handle that at this moment. Josh Stallion, the excellent one, had another monster day against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills.
I feel good about my preseason Bowl champion Buffalo Bills take.
And they get the Tennessee Titans and then a bye week and then Miami. they're going to keep cruising along. Josh Allen is absolutely crushing. Tom Brady, the plant man, threw another five threw another five touchdowns and 400 yards.
At home, I think it's five games in a row with four or more passing touchdowns for Tom Brady. And the nice thing is we talked about, like, there's going to be a rotation with these wide receivers, and every week one of them is going to be bad, and you just don't know who it's going to be. With Gronk missing, it's like they're all three fine. Sure. Chris Godwin had himself a very nice game, and he was easily the worst. And then you had two touchdowns for Evans, two touchdowns for Antonio.
Jameis. No. Yes, thank you. Jameis Winston. He did it again.
Hope you have him in best ball.
15 completions, four touchdowns. Who are the New Orleans Saints? I don't know. I don't think that they know
who they are. No one could possibly know who the Saints are. Do they have a good defense, Mike?
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, how about their offense? Is it really good?
Maybe.
I don't have a clue. Who knows? This is the best, worst team I've ever seen.
Davis Mills of the Houston Texans.
Oh man.
Look, Sunday Live, I do my best to project how I think Sunday is going to go. I may have talked a lot of crap about the Houston Texans and Davis Mills, and he made me look like a fool, as they should have beat the Patriots. Now, I'm guessing that the coaching of Bill Belichick is what turned things around. But Davis Mills had himself a game, 21 for 29, over 300 yards and three passing touchdowns. He is one of four rookie quarterbacks to throw for 202 in a game against Belichick since the year 2000. So kudos to you, Davis Mills. What a game.
That was mind-blowing. And this will be the last time we celebrate Davis Mills. But great job.
Probably. Dak had another great game, 303. He gets the Patriots next week. Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my goodness, Jalen Hurts.
From the depths. I don't know how we ended up here.
This is what we say this every single week, all the time. Mobile rushing quarterbacks.
Yep.
They're a cheat code, because here's the truth. Jalen Hurts sucked. He played terrible. He played a bad game.
Weak winning quarterback Jalen Hurts?
Oh, yes. I mean the quarterback five on the season, Jalen Hurts, who's...
And they beat the Panthers.
Who had a great... Yes, won the game, helped you in fantasy, had a great fantasy line. This is a... We're talking stud muffins right now.
Yes.
And I have Jalen Hurts everywhere. And I'm watching this game just grossed out. The Panthers just shutting him down. The play calling of the Eagles, I can't even verbalize how barf it was. And then somehow at the end of the game, I think he had like five fantasy points like halfway through the fourth quarter. And then he has two rushing touchdowns, 30 rushing yards, and has himself a good game.
Trevor Lawrence had himself a fine game, 270 plus with a touchdown. And he also ran one in. The game plan of the Jaguars, I get it. Like they played well, but Marvin Jones Jr., Laviska Shenault, they're probably in the poopy pants section.
Well, they were in the Monday Punday section at least,
because I don't know how you're not getting these guys involved. But Trevor Lawrence, he still had himself a fine game.
Yeah, it was. And it could have been better. He had a touchdown call back, which same with Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts.
Are we at five on the season now?
Five on the season that he has scored and called back by silly, stupid penalties, like, you know, illegal formations and offensive, you know, the pick plays.
Greg Ward not knowing how to run a pick play.
Yeah, so that's upsetting. Well, before we get to the running back studs, I want to thank today's sponsors, and I want to thank Helix Sleep, because I absolutely love my mattress from Helix Sleep. My mattress is from Helix Sleep. I don't, you know, as soon as I got one, I'm like, oh, I need to replace my children's. I need to replace my guest bedroom. You take a quiz through Helix Sleep. It takes just 2 minutes, and it matches your body type and your sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. And it is legit. It's not one of those surveys you take, and then at the end, it's just... have our mattress.
Everyone gets the same thing.
Do you like it soft, medium, firm? Are you a side sleeper, a back sleeper? Are you like me? Are you on Team Hefty Boys? They have something specific for, you know, us plus size sleepers. And they really are good. Go to helixsleep.com/footballers. Take the 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. And Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/footballers. That's helixsleep.com/footballers for up to $200 off and 2 free pillows.
Foot Clan want to thank today's sponsor, Nuts.com. It is the best-kept secret of savvy snackers across the country. Nuts.com is not just for people. It's not just for for the nut lovers out there. It's a one-stop online pantry shop. We are massive fans, massive fans of the snacks. They keep our snack count at 100 at Nuts.com. White chocolate, toffee cashews, bourbon pecan. My personal favorite, the bourbon pecans. You get a bag in front of me, stand back.
Man, if you had those cashews fight those pecans, that's a brutal battle because those cashews are unbeatable.
They have over 4,000 products to choose from. They have delicious, healthy kid family snacks like dried strawberries, custom trail mix, plus all the raw, organic, roasted, salted, and candied nuts you can imagine, even chocolate dipped. It's a family-run business that takes pride in getting you the freshest foods and freshest snacks. They have gluten-free and vegan options, and delivery is fast. Most orders ship the same day. We were shocked. They say they're ship fast. This is no joke.
It was like magic.
I felt like we ordered it and it just showed up.
Yeah.
So it's fast. It's delicious. Nuts.com. And new Nuts.com customers get free shipping on your first order when you text TFF to 64,000. Text TFF to 64,000 to get free shipping on your first order from Nuts.com. That's TFF to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at Nuts.com/terms. At the running back position.
How'd Derrick Henry do this week?
Oh, man. Derrick Henry, 29 attempts. That's unbelievable. 130 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns.
3 rushing touchdowns.
Now he gets Buffalo next week.
So what? Who cares?
I tend to agree. It's Derrick Henry, but
I mean, week one,
Buffalo looks great.
Against Arizona, Derrick Henry was the running back 29. He was 17 for 58. Had a terrible game. And obviously those will come throughout the course of the season. You're not doing anything other than rejoicing for all the great games, though.
Austin Eckler of the Chargers, he had himself a day, 17 carries, 66 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 targets that turned into 5 for 31 and 1, including at the end of the game a touchdown that he didn't even want to score himself.
I love it.
Strategically, they were just trying to run out the clock, and Cleveland knew, recognized that they had to do something about it. So Eckler takes a handoff inside the 5. Could have, they were going to let him in. Did I say I said 5 for 31? 5 for 53. Sorry. Austin Eckler had a great game through the air. But Eckler takes the handoff, and the Browns picked him up and brought him into the end zone because that was their only play. They had to get the ball back for a chance to win. Very funny play. But Eckler ends up with a monster day. Miles Gaskin, the gas man, 5 for 25 on the ground. Okay, is Tampa Bay. No big deal. 10 targets. 10 for 74, 2 touchdowns through the air, 69% of the snaps, nice. Way up from where he was. Are we back in on the gas, man? He gets Jacksonville and Atlanta. Devontae Parker was out for the Dolphins. The targets shifted to the running back position. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I'm not back in on Miles Gaskin. I think this is an opportunity. If you've been experiencing the Dolphins and the Miles Gaskin ride, it has not been fun. I can almost guarantee you that you didn't get any of these points, right? Like,
sure.
If Miles Gaskin was in your lineup, I'm sorry for how your lineup is currently going, because there's just no way after being the running back. I mean, he hasn't been a running back 2 yet this year. He hasn't been in the top 24, and we were through 4 weeks of the season. So he was probably on your bench. Now he went outlandish, had an awesome game, looked great, got the targets. And this is where he's going to score, is through the air. So it's nice, because if you knew he was going to be heavily targeted week in and week out, he's a great flex play. The touchdowns are probably not going to come a lot, and he had two of them this game. So this is a guy I would be looking to trade high off of the performance.
Super Camario just keeps doing his thing. 16 for 71 and a rushing score, 8 targets, 5 for 51 and 1. I mean, he seems unstoppable at this point.
Well, he'll be stopped this week, because do you know what this week brings, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
Bye weeks.
Yeah. Zeke, 21 for 110 and a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown as well. We had an extremely scary moment where it was another fluke thing where Zeke, he's going for the pylon. The pylon is knocked over and Zeke falls on it, like the middle of his back, you know, almost like he got where his legs are trying to touch his head, that type of a bending. And he was down, like
writhing in pain.
He was a man down, where just the way that the afternoon games were trending, it was, yeah, well, of course Zeke is going to get hurt in this game after we already lost Saquon Barkley.
And then the next play, Amari Cooper comes up hobbled and limping, and you're like, goodness gracious.
Yes, but I'm telling you, Zeke was down for several minutes, and then he got up and he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, it was like one play later. It was like he took a play off, and same with Cooper. And then next thing you know, they're both on the field, and they're fine. Zeke has been great.
Yes.
He's the running back 3 over the last 3 weeks after that week 1 game that we knew was going to be hard against Tampa Bay. He is one of only 2 running backs who have been inside the top 10 each of the last 4 weeks, the other one being Austin Eckler. Derrick Henry was running back 11 once.
Yeah.
What a loser.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, both boys from the Cleveland Browns, got it done with huge games. They were the main reason why the Chargers had to keep going for it on fourth down, because their defense could not find an answer. Alexander Mattison.
He was great.
I get it. It's versus Detroit, but still, give the man his due. 25 carries, 113 yards, 7 targets, 7 for 40, and a receiving touchdown. He has filled in for Dalvin Cook twice this year, and he has put up massive RB1 numbers both times.
Why does it seem like they pass the ball more to Alexander Mattison than they do to Dalvin Cook?
I don't know.
Get Dalvin Cook involved the exact same way. I think what it is they just believe in the running game more with Dalvin Cook. So
perhaps,
you know, they run more, but it's like your offense would be better if you use Dalvin Cook the way you're using Alexander Mattison. Someone let him know.
Yeah, and he's been a great insurance running back. James Robinson, he's very good at football. It seems Urban Meyer has finally recognized this. Gave him 18 carries. He ends up with 149 and 1.
Should have been 2.
Urban Meyer doesn't fully recognize this, though, because we were seeing Carlos Hyde taking goal line snaps.
4th and 1. You got one shot. You're going to go for it from the goal line. One shot. And they did throw away their shot, because they could have given it to the guy who can't be tackled. Instead, they gave it to Carlos Hyde, and he lost 5 yards.
Najee Harris, it wasn't just 19 targets this week for the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Denver Broncos. 23 carries, 122, and a rushing score. He also saw 5 targets. How are you feeling about Najee now, Jason?
Outstanding. I mean, you know, it was scary at the end of that game. It looked like he pulled a hamstring or worse. Thankfully, it was just cramps. But Najee, after that week 1 performance, just like Zeke. Zeke and Najee's seasons are crazy similar. Week 1, they were both around the running back 40, irrelevant, useless. And then from that point on, they have not been outside of the top 12 at running back. They're dominating. Their usage is what you want. So I feel great about Najee. And with Juju being gone, that is official now. He had the surgery.
Oh, did we hear? Okay.
He is done for this season. Juju is gone. Those little dink and dunk targets, Deontay and Najee, just somehow it seems impossible that they could get more targets. You're like, well, no, someone else will come in. You know, maybe James Washington will be involved. And yes, someone else will come in, and then Deontay and Najee will get even more targets.
Can we get Najee some bananas?
Yeah.
Like, just have, you know, get this man some potassium.
And can
do
we
you
get,
have the IV at the ready?
Can we put Big Ben in like a suit of armor? Because everything changes for the worst if, like, I know he's bad.
He's not going to be any slower.
He's exactly. I mean, there's no problem. You just want him to be there to check the ball down to Najee.
DeAndre Swift, he kind of got it done in garbage time, but garbage time counts for fantasy football. Devontae Booker, he was an honorable mention when he took over for Saquon Barkley. He had 2 touchdowns on the week.
Be a huge waiver wire pickup.
Yes, he would. Leonard Fournette, it was the Miami Dolphins, so of course there's going to be a rushing touchdown. He got it done. At the wide receiver position, holy freaking crap, Mike Williams.
16 targets.
He has been, in the last month, the wide receiver 9, the wide receiver 1, a bomb of a week where he was the wide receiver 106, where Keenan Allen was also bad, and then the wide receiver 1. I brought it up, you know, a couple weeks ago, Jason, that I was getting this feels like the Chris Godwin, Mike Evans season, where it's funny to make jokes that Mike Williams is the number one guy on the team. It's funny until it's not. And where are you at this current moment in time?
Yeah, I mean, Keenan Allen has been...
Keenan's been fine.
He's been fine, but he's been disappointing. Obviously, he's good. You look back at Keenan's last few games, 9 targets, 11 targets, 12 targets, great. He hasn't been doing that much with them, despite some of these targets are, you know, coming in the red zone, but I think you got to make the shift. I was hesitant. Maybe I waited a week too long, but so long as Mike Williams is healthy and with the absolute belief we have in the coaching staff there right now, mm-hmm. And the belief we have in Herbert, Mike Williams has to be seen as, you know, a top 5 wide receiver right now. On the course of the season, he's the number 1 wide receiver for fantasy. So, yeah, saying top 5 is... That's lower than where he is.
Mike Williams, best draft pick of 2021. I think we can already call that.
Your footy is in the mail.
Devontae Adams, 11 for 206 and 1. We mentioned it with the boys in Tampa Bay. Antonio Brown, 7 for 124 and 2. Mike Evans, he wasn't doing much, but then he got in the action in the fourth quarter, 6 for 113 and 2. Jamar Chase, Jamarvelous.
Buddy.
He keeps getting it done, and this time we saw 10 targets, 6 for 159 and 1. Currently the wide receiver 6 on the season. Jason, if you could have drafted Jamar Chase in the 5th round, should you have done that?
No, you should have drafted him in the 4th round. You should have never let him get to the 5th. Are you kidding me? He's been great. I love on his first long, deep touchdown reception, Andrew Siciliano said it properly when he said, all he does is catch long touchdowns. And he does, every single week he's catching a long touchdown.
Yeah. Kadarius Toney.
He's...
Moni here. We had 13 targets, 10 for 189. He is just so shifty. He was a big dummy, got himself kicked out of the game. Otherwise, he definitely would have hit 200 yards the way that the game was going. Now, what is interesting for this team is Sterling, the number one, number two, and now the number 3 wide receiver, I guess, because Kenny Galladay's in that bunch now.
And maybe even number 4. I mean, Kadarius Toney was running behind Darius Slayton.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Sterling Shepard and Slayton were out. When they come back, what happens? I mean, you can't move away from Toney now at this point through 2 weeks, your first round draft pick. It's me, Dave. Dave making us look like fools because Kadarius Toney looks fantastic. You have to keep him involved in the offense. But once Shepard is back, are we going to see 13 targets a week for Toney?
No, you're not going to see 13 targets for Kadarius Toney. What happened in this game was they lost literally everyone. It was Kadarius Toney and Kadarius Toney. If they could have had him throw the ball to him, they would have. In fact, when they got down in the red zone at the end, they had to wildcat Kadarius. They're like, I don't trust Glennon to throw it to Kadarius Toney. We're just going to snap it right to Kadarius Toney. And I love it. I love that the that the staff saw.
I can't believe Jason Garrett had in him.
Yeah, that Jason Garrett was like, we've got to have him touch the ball. He's the only guy on the field that can do anything at this point. But when Sterling Shepard comes back, when Kenny Golladay comes back, they will not go away from Kadarius Toney, but he won't be a 13-target first-read type of guy in the offense. But the what the Foot Clan needs to know is that this dude is an electric weapon who has proven he can outrun NFL you know, guys. You see it with Rondale Moore and Kadarius Toney.
And Tyreek.
Obviously Tyreek.
DK Metcalf, 5 for 98 and 2. It was a fantastic game where you got to be holding out hope that Geno Smith can get something done for Seattle. Marquez Callaway came through with a big game. That's great. One of them was a Hail Mary at the half. That like that's just
it counts.
It's so embarrassing for the defense that that can ever happen. Chase Claypool, 6 targets, 5 for 130, and a score. Juju, you mentioned to Jason, he had the surgery. He's out for the season. What is your rest of season gut reaction to this with Chase Claypool moving forward?
Yeah, I think Chase Claypool is going to be a really good option the rest of the way. The last 2 games he's been out there, he was a top 24 wide receiver, 96 yards, and then 130 yards. He's a deep guy. He's going to be more necessary in the offense, have his targets go up, and obviously he's just a physical freak. So I think this brings a little bit of it's sad, obviously, that Juju's gone, but it brings clarity to offenses when there are fewer guys that are going to dominate the market share, and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson are both going to be great.
Cortland Sutton bounced back, had himself a game, 11 targets, 7 for 120, and a score. Fireball Jones, a.k.a. Tim Patrick, he had himself an okay game as well. Kind of seemed like it came at the expense of Noah Fant, unfortunately, but Sutton, I mean, everything is there. The air yards are there. Teddy Bridgewater is a fine quarterback. He's a competent quarterback. Sutton, he's a flex play to me because he will be – he's inconsistent on a Denver Broncos team that they would prefer to run. You don't?
I don't think he's inconsistent. Okay. Put it this way. You say, oh, well, he was the wide receiver 6 in week 2, then he was 62, 65, and now 10. And you go, well, that's very inconsistent. But you have to remember, 3 weeks ago, when they played the Jets, they were up on the Jets in 2 seconds and didn't need to throw the ball
at all.
So the game was over. Cortland Sutton didn't get to play. Mm-hmm. Then the next week, they had Drew Lock. So it's like, okay, you go play with Drew Lock.
That's some excellent context.
So Teddy Bridgewater gets back. They have a regular game, and he's great again. So I think Cortland Sutton.
So are you trading high, or are you holding on to Sutton?
I'm just holding on to Sutton. I'm not going to trade for him because the question will come, what happens when Jerry Jeudy gets back?
Sure, and that's sooner than later.
Yeah, but for a couple more weeks, assuming it's still a couple weeks before Jeudy comes back, I think Sutton is someone there's no way I'm not putting him in my lineup.
Bobby Trees, Robert Woods.
There he is.
Final straw, and the final straw turned into 14 targets, 12 for 150. Good to have you back, Robert Woods. Manny Sanders keeps getting things done for the Buffalo Bills. I mean,
you've
got to be a little frustrated that Diggs is not getting these touchdowns.
Yeah. But when my wide receivers get 3 receptions, I like when they get 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I do as well. Hopkins, CeeDee Lamb both had solid games. At the tight end position, David Njoku?
Oh, yes.
There was a bajillion points scored in this game of
my
the Browns versus
love,
the Chargers. David Njoku.
I loved David Njoku, man. This is a guy I want the Cardinals to go trade for. But, 7 for 149 and 1. He doesn't do much, but he is so fast and athletic that if you can get him open, mm-hmm. you won't catch him, and that's what happened a couple times.
And there it was, Kyle Pitts, 10 targets, 9 for 119, got his first touchdown. It was over in London. Unfortunately, to Kyle Pitts, now it goes right into the bye week. But this was incredible to see. Not only that Calvin Ridley was out, so the number one option for the Atlanta Falcons gone. And so you automatically go, well, the volume's going to go to Kyle Pitts. Yeah, but can a rookie tight end, as the number one option for this team, can he carry the offense? And
the Jets.
At least
the
against
Jets
the New York Jets.
They go, yeah, he can.
It was a big yes, but that was great to see for Kyle Pitts.
This was Andy's start of the week, and yeah. He was Andy's start of the week, obviously, even before the Calvin Ridley news, before the Russell Gage news. Russell Gage was also out, if you were unaware. So Kyle Pitts was very necessary, perfect, easy matchup. Personally, I would try to trade high on Kyle Pitts. And I know it's hard because you've been waiting, and then he showed it, but he's got a bye week coming up, so you're not going to use him now. And then by the time the bye week is over, Russell Gage
I don't care about Russell Gage.
Oh, sure, but my point is he's there and Calvin Ridley will be back. And what you've seen through the beginning of the season, which is involvement, usage, talent, but not a great fantasy finish on a weekly basis usually for Pitts, I think that's going to be more the norm than the "you're the only guy in town against the Jets" performance this last week.
So then who are you going to go get?
Because so I would do one of two things.
If you trade Kyle Pitts, now you need a starting tight end.
I would do one of two things. I would trade Kyle Pitts plus someone to move up for one of the big dog tight ends.
Okay.
If you wanted to try to go get a Darren Waller or – like, people don't trade the best tight ends unless they think that they can get, you know, get Pitts plus something, they might be willing to do it. Alternatively – if you have problems at running back or wide receiver and you can turn Pitts into a Dawson Knox or Dalton Schultz plus a good running back or wide receiver, I would personally be willing to do that. But obviously, I think most people who have Pitts, they believe in the talent, they believe in him, they saw this performance, and I think they're all going to hold pat.
Funny enough, Darren Waller's stat line in the last month, not unlike Kyle Pitts, 5 for 65, 5 for 54, four for 50 in a score, 4 for 45.
So you might be able to get him. And I don't think it's close as to which one you would want, despite the fact that their lines have been somewhat similar.
Dawson Knox, Fort Knox, the keeper of the Knox jokes, I don't know. We'll figure that out.
But he is the one who knocks, but that's for sure.
Yeah, what's important here, 3 for 117 in a score. He is the tight end 2 on the season. The breakout is happening. Sure, you want more targets. I totally get that. But you're playing with Josh Allen, who his arm strength still boggles my mind, where he's in the rain last night, just flicking his arm. And this ball is an absolute laser beam out there to everyone, to Manny, to Stephon Diggs, which they didn't talk about it on the broadcast, but the Stephon Diggs deep catch, certainly to me, could be wrong, to me, looked like Stephon Diggs was looking around so he could showboat on his giant touchdown,
yeah,
not realizing the defender was on the other side, and then he got taken down.
He thought he was all alone. That's what it looked like.
It was very DeSean Jacksonian.
Yeah. Him and his brother, man, they're doing work.
Yes, they are fantastic.
Dawson Knox has not been outside the top 12 at tight end since week one.
Yeah,
he's the only tight end that you could say that about.
Hunter Henry had a great game. Now, same snaps as Jonnu Smith, but he ran 20 routes to Jonnu's 6. We'll see if this is sticky or not for Hunter. And then Travis Kelce was great. All right, it was fun talking about the good stuff, but we also got to cover the other side of the equation.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
Kyler Murray had a fine football game, did not have a good fantasy game. That's back-to-back weeks now, right, for Kyler with the low touchdown output?
No, he was number 9 last week, so... certainly, when you go from the quarterback 1 week 1, the quarterback 1 in week 2, you're disappointed with anything mediocre. But this week was bad. And the reason that it was bad, one rushing yard. This is a player who, over the first couple weeks, the first month of the season, was averaging basically almost 30 rushing yards and, you know, a half a touchdown a game. 7 carries for 1 yard was his rushing line.
Sam Darnold was not just disappointing for fantasy, he was disappointing for the NFL. He crapped the bed in this one. He single-handedly cost Carolina the game.
What? He threw three touchdowns. Oh, I'm sorry. Those are interceptions.
Yeah. And you know, wash, rinse, repeat. Miss DJ Moore again on another what would have been an easy touchdown. Derek Carr, after the shellacking of last week and then getting real mad online, talking about how dare Joey Bosa say those things about me that I just curl into a ball when I get pressure. That makes me mad. I'll show you what I can do. And the answer to that was get shellacked by the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the Raiders? I don't know.
But at least with them, we knew that. And okay, we've known that forever, and we'll know that forever.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Right.
At the running back position, Chase Edmonds.
Real fart of a game.
He was injured during the week and was kind of a game-time decision. So this, while not surprising, it still sucks because he was active. I played him in my teams where I have him. He did not come through. Melvin Gordon had a poor game. It's still a 50-50 split with Javonte Williams. To me, Javonte is the better runner, but we'll see if by the second half, Javonte really breaks out. Miles Sanders continues to not see a lot of opportunity, and Kenneth Gainwell did not come through either.
And this week they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which means
bail out.
You can't run on them.
Bail out. Elijah Mitchell against the Arizona Cardinals. The missile was back. 9 for 43. That's a good yard per carry. Only two targets for 19 yards or two catches and 19 yards. It didn't turn into a big fantasy game, but I think you should feel confident starting Elijah moving forward.
Yes, Elijah moving forward is the start. It was clear as day watching this game. It's like, oh, Trey Sermon.
Trey Sermon only had one carry, and it was like later in the game.
Exactly. He was an afterthought to this team. The issue here is that you look at, Elijah being the clear-cut running back one, had 9 carries, whereas Trey Lance had 16 rushing attempts. So is there worry now with Trey Lance being there that you're not going to have enough rushing volume, handoffs to the running back?
Well, that's an interesting point. Trey Lance was kind of in this, he wasn't a stud, he wasn't a dud. For someone who did not score a touchdown, he had a lot of fantasy points, but we're kind of in this fantasy purgatory with him. And Shanahan has said, Garoppolo is our guy. Once he's healthy, we're going to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. So, whatever. Let's just have this discussion now. Trey Lance, he's in the bye week. Shanahan has at least come out and said that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the guy. Garoppolo did some on-field workout, doing the stuff with the exercise band. They were hoping he would be good to go. We knew he wouldn't start this week, but with the bye week, he reasonably could be healthy and starting again. Are you buying into what Shanahan is saying that it is him? And then what do you do with Trey Lance at this point?
You drop Trey Lance, okay, and you drop Trey Sermon. If there was a third Trey, it would be really nice, but there's only two of them. But those two guys, to me, are 100% drops. I'm not holding them through a bye, and then coming out of the bye 2 weeks from now when I'm very confident I can't play either one. So I know I can't play them for a fact this week, and then 2 weeks from now I can't play them because the other two actual starters are going to be ahead. You don't need to hold on to players like that, especially obviously bye weeks are here, so they're not the only guys with bye. You might need a roster position. I'm moving on from both of those players.
At the wide receiver position, DJ Moore, 5 for 42. It was much uglier towards the end of the game. I don't know when he jumped up to 5 receptions, but not what you were hoping for with Moore. Stephon Diggs, 2 for 69. Really think he could have had the touchdown, but he did not.
That's pretty nice.
Maybe I read the situation wrong. I don't know. But it really looked like that. A.J. Brown, 3 for 38 on his return. Terry McLaurin, he saw 11 targets, but only 4 for 46. Taylor Heinicke,
and they were bad targets.
Taylor Heinicke was bad.
Yeah, he was.
He was bad this week.
It's so funny because he's had games where his accuracy is why he's on the field, like pinpoint, just in stride, hitting. And this game, you could see the receivers just throwing their hands up, like, dude, Like, they were open, and he just kept overthrowing them or underthrowing them. Or it just, he had a bad game. And I think that's, you got to just chalk it up as a bad game. Next week against Kansas City, who I think they, after the Super Bowl, they got rid of their defense. Is that what they did? They just said, maybe, we need to invest in the offensive line. We're going to let our defense go. It's a get-right game. I'm not worried about Terry McLaurin at all.
Adam Thielen, 3 targets, 2 for 40. The receptions have dropped every single week since week one, where he was the wide receiver 4, the monster performance.
10 targets, then 7, 9, 8, 3.
And the last 3 weeks, the Minnesota Vikings have scored 17 or fewer points. So that's 3 straight weeks. That's not good offensive output. Are you concerned about Adam Thielen, or is this just a slump and he's going to bounce back?
I'm concerned about the short-term outlook, because the Carolina defense, while Carolina and Sam Darnold looked horrific on offense, their defense is absolutely
legit. Chuba had a fine game.
Sure, all the dump-offs. He had the Christian McCaffrey workload, which was nice. But their defense is absolutely legit. And with what we've seen over the last couple of weeks from the Minnesota puttering offense, they've got Carolina in Carolina this coming week, followed by a bye week. So I think it's going to be rough sledding for a couple of weeks. If you could move Adam Thielen, I would be willing to do that just to manufacture wins. But I do think Adam Thielen's going to be fine rest of season. I'm not concerned with his 2 for 40 game, that's the new normal.
Brandon Cooks, you could have seen it coming against the Patriots, but when Davis Mills goes nuclear, you would have expected that Brandon Cooks got involved. However, he didn't, but the Indianapolis Colts, the Arizona Cardinals up next for Brandon Cooks. I think better games are ahead. Odell Beckham, 3 targets, 2 for 20, a terrible drop on 4th and 2. I mean, Beckham gets to Arizona next week.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, he's.
Is Beckham a drop for you, or is he just going on to your
bench? No, you trade Beckham. Okay. He's got too big a name to drop. He's absolutely drop a bowl in the sense, look, the Browns just scored 42 points. Jarvis Landry, not on the roster.
Right.
Odell Beckham had 20 yards. You don't want to play with that, but you can always, getting a Michael Pittman or someone like that, trying to trade for a young stud that's up and coming. Maybe the Jerry Jeudy manager is needing someone now. I would trade Odell Beckham for some up and coming young guy rather. I mean, and if I absolutely can't, and there's a good, I've got the chance to pick up Devontae Booker. Sure. I would be willing to, but his name is big enough where you got to cash in on that value.
T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd of the Cincinnati Bengals, while Ja'Marr Chase was the man, Higgins and Boyd did not come through with a game.
Higgins got injured as well during that game again. You saw him kind of writhing in pain. I don't know if it was a re-aggravation of the shoulder.
Okay.
Seemed like it would have been. We'll have to stay tuned for news on that.
Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, they had terrible games because when you have a chance to target Tavon Austin and Jamal Agnew, you got to take that chance. You cannot throw that away.
No, those guys are superstars, and it really helped them lose this game.
Like, if Urban Meyer had any chance to build some status or some trust up with the fantasy football community, he sure threw that in the dumpster.
Yeah, I'm looking through the schedule, and I'm trying to find some W's. They're playing Miami.
They could beat Miami.
They could. We'll see. Jets in week 16. Okay.
Goodness gracious.
Back-to-back number one picks?
Speaking of the Jets, Corey Davis, Jameson Crowder, it was bad news. The hopefulness we had for the Jets that they showed against the Titans, that was swiftly removed by the Atlanta Falcons. Allen Robinson, 5 targets, 4 for 32. What are we doing with Allen Robinson?
Well, we had a couple final straw players we brought up on the Spotify Green Room show on Wednesdays. Robert Woods, Robbie Anderson, Allen Robinson, all the Robs. And one-third passed the test.
Yeah, Robert Woods.
Good job. And two-thirds, Allen Robinson and Robbie Anderson, they failed. I don't know. So Robbie Anderson's easy. Robbie Anderson's cut. You're not going to get anything. You're not going to be able to trade him away like Odell Beckham. He had seven targets, but Christian McCaffrey is going to come back. And he was missed on you know, a couple bombs. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. He sucked. So cut him.
Oh, man.
So Allen Robinson is the biggest question. Like, Allen Robinson is an impossible situation. If Mike Williams is the best draft pick in fantasy this year, I think Allen Robinson might be the worst draft pick in fantasy because of how high you invested in such a safe, secure asset who is now
and you keep playing him.
Exactly. He's a torturous situation because this is someone that you can't possibly cut. You can't cut him, right? You can't play him.
So I trade Allen Robinson on my highly publicized, much maligned league of record team, which is just in shambles. Allen Robinson was the biggest piece of my destruction, and I traded him away. And I traded him in my division to one of my rivals, and I was willing to do that because I thought I think I'm trading a landmine.
Yeah.
To my opponent, who put him right in the starting lineup, and Allen Robinson was terrible. So I don't blame you if you want to hold on to Allen Robinson on the bench and see if things can get turned around.
I guess maybe the same prescription as Odell.
Yeah.
Maybe you try to trade him for a Jerry Jeudy, a Cortland Sutton, Michael Pittman.
Sure. TJ Hockenson, Jason, what do we do here?
Oh, my goodness.
What do we do here? Three targets.
Where's the panic button?
All right,
I want
producers,
it.
Producers, hit it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
What is happening?
The first 2 weeks of the season were a guarantee.
It was locked. You sold me the Brooklyn Bridge, Jason.
And I loved the money that I received for the Brooklyn Bridge. 10 targets, 8 receptions. 9 targets, 8 receptions. The centerpiece.
But the defense is queuing in on me.
The
centerpiece
of this offense was TJ Hockenson. So here's what we do know. We know it can happen. We know that this team can feature TJ Hockenson. The last few weeks have been a grand total of 10 yards, 42 yards, 22 yards.
So we also know that this can happen.
Right. It is definitely scary because now the majority of his games are bad. We've shifted from him being a locked-in, great play to he's had more bad games than good ones. And what do you do if I have TJ Hockenson? I continue to play him.
Okay.
If I don't have a tight end, if I am someone that was, you know, out there in the Jared Cook sphere, living with the same kind of boom bust, I'm trying to trade for him still. He had the knee concern that kept him out of practice this last week, so he was not as involved, played the lowest snaps of the season, still 80% of the snaps, but that was low for him.
That's right, because he had a chance to play.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think brighter days are ahead of him, but he is not a guarantee the way that it appeared after 2 weeks of the season.
Darren Waller didn't give you what you had hoped for. Noah Fant, this one was extremely disappointing. 3 for 20. The guys up in Philadelphia, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, they continue to cannibalize each other's production. There's nothing there. And then, I mean, that's really it of the note for the tight ends. Monday night, Jason.
Monday night. Here's what I need, okay?
Yeah?
Play with me, Foot Clan. I need either a great game from Hollywood Brown or a horrific game from Hollywood Brown, okay? I need him to score than five fantasy points to win. Like, that's most important, is fewer than five. Or he needs to explode and have, like, a 20-point week.
Okay, so if you so
if he just goes out and goes, you know, 6 for 60, I lose both. I'm just, don't, no mediocrity, Hollywood. Give me an absolute collapse or a wonderful performance.
That is the worst place to be.
Yeah. You know, oh, I already know what's happening. I mean, he's going to be right down the middle road and pour all the salt in my wounds.
We want to say a special shout out to Pristine Auction for sponsoring this show. PristineAuction.com, the best memorabilia site of all time. Currently, a Jalen Hurts signed jersey. It's up there right now for just 50 bones. That auction ends on Tuesday night. And a signed DK Metcalf jersey at this time, just $63. That auction also ends on Tuesday night. PristineAuction.com, use our registration code BALLERS to get $10 in credit for your first auction victory.
I wonder if they have any Russell Wilson signed memorabilia. I feel like that's got to go up in value. He can't be signing a bunch of stuff.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going.
It was just poking fun in his finger. Sorry, in division. In division, it's allowed.
That's fine. That's fine.
Take that, Judah.
That's going to do it. Oh, Mad Dog getting called out on the show. That's going to do it for today's show. We will see you tomorrow with the waivers. Very important waiver show this week, Foot Clan. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.